Hey, Pod fam, Colby here really quick with a brief intro before we get into the episode. This is a conversation that Kate and I had back in June of 2020, and you'll hear us reference Pride Month. And it was a fantastic conversation, especially considering this is a topic that we'd never spoken of publicly like this. But then for just reasons upon reasons, we never released the episode. It just sat on the hard drive until recently. We're like, hey, what happened to that conversation? Oh, yeah, let's get it out there. And then when I was getting ready to upload it, I realized how many dated references there were. So that's why it feels like this was recorded months ago, because it was. But here it is now, a special holiday gift for all y'all. And if you like it, let us know. Rate it, review it, share it with a friend. Do all the things that you know to do when you find a podcast that you love. Anyway, love you all. Hope you enjoyed the conversation. I know we did.
It's rolling.
Rolling, rolling, rolling.
For some reason, that made me think of the Golden Girls.
I don't know, but I just about said I really like cans because that's how you reference them when you talk about these. Mm-hmm. But then that made me laugh because of the topic of our episode.
You do like cans. We both like cans. We are pro cans.
What am I, 12?
So for the uninitiated.
I am 12 years old.
Cans are insider's jargon in the sound recording world for headphones.
And I really like those types. Like, I wear that. You got me a pair to wear, like, just for my normal listening to music and listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
And I prefer them to the earbud things. So that's what I was trying to express.
Cans or buds?
Yes.
Yeah. Speaking of just, that's a great, This is the Kate and Colby Show Garage Sessions, special episodes we record for you, our pod fam. Join us as we return to our roots with just two mics, two co-hosts, and one desire to talk about things that matter. Can we take it back to 95 before we add this drama in our lives? Just staring at the screen every day and night. I miss the rush of living in real life. Go get your DeLorean. Oh, miss the summers. Happy Pride.
Seriously.
Babe.
12 years old.
Happy Pride. Pride. It is, as we're recording, it is currently the last day of the month of Pride. So when this releases,
it'll be a little past
Pride
that,
month will be
we missed it
behind us.
Yeah.
But we're sitting here.
San Diego, I feel like we get a stretched out.
We get
out.
A little bonus baby.
Yeah, because San Diego celebrated Pride Parade and celebrated Pride in general in July, long before it became like a, what am I trying to say?
A nationally recognized month.
Yeah, there you go. That's what I was trying to say. The words were failing me. So we get them both, June and July. So we'll march with our church on July.
We'll march in July.
11th.
So we're sitting here in our studio, in our garage, because this is the garage
session. I
think how
we always say that. We always tell everybody, we're in our garage. We're like, we're in a boat.
I mean, that's true. It's three out of three times now, 100% of the time. We may not always, but I just wanted to point out aesthetically that we've got.
Well, our live show, we also say that a lot. We're here in our garage.
Well,
home to our garage.
We're in
our garage.
The SNL folks say they're in New York every time. So I think we're in good company.
You're right. We're good. We'll keep saying we're in our garage.
If it's good enough for Lorne Michaels, it's good enough for Kate and Colby. But anyway, we got this this pretty lighting, this ambient pride-themed lighting with blue light,
no
green
one can
light,
see.
Purple light, pink light. Because I've been hosting these conversations on my live show for Pride Month.
You have? How's that gone?
Oh my God. So fun. Good. So freaking good. I've loved it. Today I talked to Julie Rogers, her book.
That book is gorgeous.
It's
what the heck?
It's a really pretty book. And also, I can't wait for you. I hope you read it because
I will. Yeah, I'm excited to.
She must have told her 27 times. That was so freaking proud of her for writing, because she didn't have to write it, right? She didn't. So she grew up in the conservative evangelical world, came out as gay, got immediately sent to ex-gay therapy, spent multiple years, not just entrenched in the, like, that world, conversion therapy, but then became like this pseudo spokesperson for conversion therapy.
Oh, like to say that it works?
Yes. Or whatever. Right. So she was like on a speaking circuit for like, yes, I identify as gay, I'm a lesbian, but I don't think, you know, but I take a traditional view of sexuality. Wow. And she got like deep into the whole evangelical world, and then eventually just was like, nope, actually this is not, like, she saw anymore. The destruction. She writes these heartbreaking stories of how she saw her friends who went through similar journeys, just where they ended up and what the damage of this system was. And anyway, so I'm like, you didn't have to write this story. Like, those are your, that trauma and those stories, nobody would have faulted you for just keep those things
curling in a ball and curling protecting in a ball. Yourself That's for the rest correct. Of your life. Mm-hmm. Wow.
And yet she freaking excavated the depths of her soul to expose this just horrible, horrible. And she named names. I'm like, thank you. Thank you for naming names and showing receipts. Anyway, so she was on today, and I've
obviously, and her book is called Out Love.
Out Love. Yeah. Which, by the way, Jeff Probst, if you're listening, I have a suggestion. I
can't wait till Jeff Probst listens to the Kane Colby Show.
I have a suggestion, Jeffrey. Probst,
you have our hearts.
When the next time you're at the creative table for figuring out how do we innovate Survivor, how do we keep it fresh after 40 seasons?
What's your idea,
I suggest you add Out Love to Outwit, Outplay, Outlast, so that there's a fourth criteria.
But you hate that way of playing.
But if it's an explicitly named part of the game,
then that fixes that problem.
Now people are judged for how well they love on the island. Can you outlove
them? Oh, I just got how brilliant her book title is. I get it. It's like double meaning.
It's double like meaning.
Out love, out love. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's gorgeous. Okay, I like anyway. It. Well, you know that I already feel that that's part of the game, the social game. But you're saying if they added that phrase, yes. That would help you agree with me.
Yeah, now, like now it's better. Actually, yes. Now you should be rewarded for really that. Fun. Whereas right now, like, no, that's not outplaying.
You're funny, but it is because it's part of the social game. Okay, we won't fight about Survivor while we're supposed to be hosting our podcast.
It's back this fall.
It is.
Oh, you exciting. Know that faux show?
Yeah. I thought we'd already talked about this. I guess I just talked about it with Karen and Ben.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to, I don't know where you were so many of the times where we were talking, where we were camping. But we were talking about hosting.
That's true. It's about the fourth conversation you've told me about.
We're talking about hosting Survivor parties now and like finally watching them, because it'll be Ben's first time watching Survivor live. So it'll be fun.
Could be fun.
Anyway.
Unless it's Wednesday nights. That wouldn't work.
Well. By Kate and Colby Show. Oh, my Survivor. Wait, is that when Survivor traditionally plays?
I don't. I think.
Mm. Well, I think, shoot,
like,
dog.
It used to be Thursday, but I think now it's Wednesday. Or I'm wrong, and it used to be Wednesday, now it's Thursday. Okay.
Riveting conversation.
Back to the topic at hand.
Sorry, you mentioned Survivor, and Kate and Colby just get lost.
Yeah, we should do our own fanfic show for that.
Fanfic show for that?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's do it.
Speaking of Survivor and fanfic, Parvati Shallow is the reason we're here today.
She is. Let's all toast to that. You don't have a drink in your hand.
So Parvati Shallow is a fantastic player. Obviously, she's a winner.
I wish the viewers could see me doing this.
Yeah, the little stir in the pot. And she is, by both yours and mine's standards, incredibly attractive, and has become one of the handful of shared sort of celebrity crushes that you and I have.
We have a lot of them.
We have a lot of them. And I think
we kind of play fight over them.
We want to talk about in this episode.
If she showed up on my doorstep, she'd be mine.
Yeah.
Kind of twisted. if that person showed up on our doorstep, which one of us would be leaving the marriage with them?
I think it's healthy because most people have those thoughts. Might as well voice the thoughts.
I know. It's strange.
Might as well get it out.
I was thinking about this. How you and I think on our last garage session, we were talking about the script we were given and how there was like shared understanding between us of how things went. And we really lived into that script well, right? Except for when it comes to stuff like that, for whatever reason, I don't know if it was like our sweet little repressed purity culture minds. The second we got married, we thought marriage, I bet you it was that. It's like we thought marriage was like finally this like freedom for sexuality. Mm-hmm. And we took that kind of seriously. I'm glad it's beautiful and healthy. I mean, that message isn't beautiful and healthy. That's really twisted that like sexuality can only be experienced in marriage. But our acceptance of the freedom of it once we got married, I think is pretty cool. You know what I mean? Like we were so, you know, you don't even talk about sex and we were just entrenched in purity culture. And then we got married and suddenly it was like every TV show we watched, we were talking about who we were attracted to. And we started this little running game of, you know, all the people that, yeah, I don't know. I find that fascinating.
It is fascinating. I wonder why that is, why that was. Luck?
I just said why.
Grace?
What? Oh, that we experienced it that way?
Yeah.
I think I just said why, because I think we just felt like we're married now, so now it's safe. Like we bought into the story that once you're married, then, because it was just between us, right? We were just, I don't know.
Gotcha. Okay. I see what you're saying.
Maybe I'm making zero sense. I just see that. That happens where people in purity culture get married and suddenly it's like talked about a lot. We probably talk about sex more than I think we especially used to at the beginning of our marriage.
I think where my mind went was that I feel like we might be in the minority of couples who got married in purity culture, where it seems to me like the more the norm is that those that weight, that baggage, that oppression continues on into the relationship, which for us, it did in its own ways.
Yeah.
But even our sort of looseness with talking about, for instance, celebrity crushes or just other ways that might manifest has occurred to me as though that might not be how it is for most people. But I guess... I don't know how we would know that. We can do a little poll next time we have whose team are you on?
My gosh, yes, I can see how much paradox is there and how much nuance and how both Andy it is that we also had our huge stories to wrestle with. But maybe that's part of it, is that we did a lot of wrestling and that is what led to also the lot of freedom. I just think back on some of our conversations that we were having. For instance, even same-sex attraction. And while we maybe didn't all the way name my same-sex attraction entirely explicitly, like giving me a label yet, but we definitely still named it. We definitely sat around talking about our shared crushes. And I think about when that was, and I was like, that was before we deconstructed. That was before we changed our minds about a lot of things. I just find that's the part that I was saying is fascinating to me. It was probably confusing what I was even talking about. But I was talking about that, like how we seem to have done this thing where we kind of jumped ahead in some areas. And maybe that's just deconstruction. Maybe that's what deconstruction is like, where you bounce ahead somewhere in one spot and then you get stuck in others and then you find freedom in another place and then stuck in another, you know, maybe it's just this back and forth, pull and push. Stuck and free dance. I don't know.
Yeah.
But
I still maintain, though, that your average, typical, heteronormative appearing couple that came out of purity culture is probably not talking about shared mutual crushes.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And maybe that's just because.
Yeah, to the rest of the world, it's like, that's the most tame, normal.
100%, right?
Pure thing you can do.
Well, I guess part of that makes sense, though, because the majority are heterosexual couples, so there wouldn't necessarily be shared crushes.
Oh, right.
So maybe it was that unique feat. I don't know. I don't know, man. What I know is that we're here right now to talk a bit about your recent, more explicitly public naming of your identity as a bisexual woman. Yes. And so maybe now we will transition into you sharing that post.
Oh, okay. As a teenager, my attraction to the same sex was only allowed one context: for the pleasure of teenage boys. They thought it was hot. I just appreciated that at least there was one place to say it honestly. It was part of that evangelical kid double life. Compartments for every part of you. So careful to never let anyone catch a glimpse of the wrong piece of you. But even in the spaces where my sexuality was expressed out loud, it was still rigidly controlled. Because whether you're in the church or out in the world, a woman's sexuality only exists in so much as it relates to a man. So I was the only one who knew that my feelings for other girls, they had nothing to do with trying to impress boys. My little secret that even I didn't understand, how could I? And then I married a beautiful man at age 20. And never once in our marriage have we avoided sharing out loud about our celebrity crushes. Usually shared crushes on the same woman. To this day, we fight over poverty. When we finally left the evangelical church, it followed quite naturally and quickly to realize with a spark, oh, I get me. I finally get me. I'm bisexual. Click, click, click. Whole life making sense now. Now, as a pastor of an affirming church, which, by the way, I hate that we have to explicitly state that we affirm people's full humanity, but Lord, do we have to, who marches in the Pride Parade, I hear from folks over and over whose specific struggle to affirm their own God-given sexuality sounds just like mine did for years. Things like, well, I'm married to someone of the opposite sex, so does it really matter that inside I'm bisexual? Does it really matter? Babes, yes, a million times yes. You matter, every piece of you. Your sexuality, it's a gift and one worthy of celebrating not just one month out of the year, but every freaking day of your life. There's no such thing as a wrong piece of you. And quietly setting part of you aside because it has no practical implications for your life, well, there's no such thing. Every single thing that makes you, you, has a tangible, real, deep impact on your life and how you live it. Your full expression of that is what God desires for you. Celebrate it all. Happy Pride Month.
That was lovely. Thank you.
Yeah.
So you there's so many threads I want to grab. Okay, so let me just grab the first one. You posted that early June, like right at the beginning of Pride Month. Mm-hmm. How conscious were you when you posted it that this was perhaps your most public and certainly most explicit naming of your identity as a bisexual woman?
Not.
Okay.
Conscious.
Okay.
For reasons.
Okay.
I was not conscious of that. Like, it took me aback, people's responses to it, which were beautiful and lovely.
What responses?
Just, I felt like it was treated as a coming out post. And to myself, internally, that's not what it was.
Okay.
And you keep beautifully naming it a thing that honors my truth, uh-huh, which is so sweet of you, instead of calling it a coming out post. So that was fascinating.
So people responded as though it was like a national news. Coming out day, coming out,
yeah,
news. Like, I'm announcing this thing that previously, mm-hmm, was unannounced.
Yes.
So that was... I would argue 97% of people's experience of that.
Yes, yes. Fair.
Why do you...
it's very fair.
Why do you...
why did I not experience it that way?
Yeah. Why did that surprise you?
It's a few things. Okay. Part of it is my fiery personality and my tendency to... Once I get somewhere... So, for instance, once I got to the place of sexual freedom that I did and all the words we use to say affirming people's humanity, once I became open and affirming and discovered my own sexual liberation and freedom, then what happens for me is once that clicks in place, then the other becomes so absurd that I then can't in any way do anything that would legitimize that. Does that make sense at all? It's just a personality quirk of mine. So therefore, then it's just, you know, you just live your sexuality and you don't have to like post about it to come out and you don't have to. It's not right. I'm not saying it's right. It's just what goes through my brain and like this. It feels like a fiery response to non-affirming stances, which doesn't make sense, but it's just.
Quick question on that, but don't lose where you're going with that because I want to come back to more of why you were surprised by it. So is it kind of like when we first moved to San Diego and we started attending and working at a church whose opinion at the time was, why did we need to say on our website that we are welcome and affirming
totally
of gay
that.
People?
Yeah. So,
yes.
Like that fiery, okay. Like, I shouldn't have to say it because it's just so freaking obvious.
Yeah. Okay,
like,
okay.
Yeah. And I know that doesn't make sense to apply that to a fact about myself, but it just, for whatever reason, that's just how my, it's just a quirky personality thing. Yeah.
Okay.
I just have a hard time once I've gone somewhere than addressing it because, yeah, that's a better way to say it. I have a hard time addressing, I realize this about myself in many aspects of shifting out of evangelical Christianity, how little I talk about it. Because once I've shifted, then I'm just done. Then I'm just over it. I'm over here.
Yeah.
Doesn't that make sense better?
I think that
better explains what my thing is. I'm like, well, I've moved on, so I don't know what y'all are doing back there, which... Again, it's not a great way to move about the world all the time.
But. I'm going to push back. I don't think it is great or not great. I just think it's one path that people take. So I take a different path oftentimes. Mm-hmm. I will turn around and reverse engineer how I got where I got.
You very naturally do.
Yeah, so that I can explain how I got here and then try to be helpful. I don't know how helpful I am, but try to be helpful to people who might be walking.
Well, that's your nature. Yeah, you're a teacher.
That is absolutely, that is my natural bent. And I just think yours is what you shared tonight. So I don't know. I don't want you to call it less than great. I just think, I think it all belongs. I think each path has its pros and its cons. Mm-hmm. So then back to why you were less surprised by it. Part of it you shared with me is that you also kind of thought it was obvious.
Yeah.
Like you maybe thought more people knew than people did know.
Yeah, totally.
Why?
Totally.
Talk about that.
Yeah. We're laughing a lot because all of these things are very funny. Kate, personality quirks. Yeah, I do. Yes, it's my personality and it's funny, but it's also just, it's actually a beautiful thing. It's how much, so just using just bisexuality as the example, because that's what we're talking about. When I know a thing about myself and feel that that's such a truth about me. I've always been, you know this about me, I've always been that person that everyone who comes across my path knows everything about me. I'm just one of those humans. You know those people? There's some people who are kind of secretive or you're like, what are they like or what are they into? You can hang out with them a lot and still not really know. But like once you've met me, you can write a pretty good long list of things that describe Kate. Yeah. I'm that person that people are always sending me things. This made me think of you. And
when people use the phrase, you're an open book, it's because people like you existed to, to
there's
make
probably a
saying
of
like
me
that
in the
necessary.
Dictionary. Yeah, totally.
Need a phrase that describe people like this.
Yeah, totally. So it's just that. I just, for me, and I think this is a really beautiful, good thing in my journey of sexuality is that for me, bisexuality had become this piece of me that was just like my care and nurture for plants and just like my obsession with cats. And it was just that much of a just part of what people see and part of how I express and part of what I look like. And so it just felt like it was always sitting there in the forefront to me. Again, it was just my experience of myself. And then clearly, obviously, sexuality is different and not everybody did know that. But
yeah.
But I had a funny moment after you had kind of laughed at me about that in a fun, playful way. And then like 2 seconds after we'd had that moment where, you know, we playful laughed at me for that, I got this text from a dear, sweet soul who goes to our church. And she texted me and said, "Just saw your Pride post. Thank God my gaydar isn't broken after all." And then she put a follow up. Oh, I mean my bidar. But it was really, really cute.
So that
gave me
she
some
had instincts.
Yeah, that gave me some affirmation, validation of that experience.
Yeah, so I'm thanks for sharing that. I'm sitting here thinking I feel very confident that prior to that post, like I said, 97% of the people who described Kate Christensen Martin would describe her as lover of plants, lover of animals, lover of raising children, tolerator of husband. No, hold on.
Okay.
And someone who loves humanity and also freely acknowledges the beauty in women and feminine. Mm. So I think that part of you is 100% known and clear. Mm. But there is that last little screw of the light bulb,
the
last little turn that makes the light bulb come on. I don't like that analogy because it makes it sound like that's what we used to be like, oh, now I get it, I have an idea. It's not about that. It's just about the last little piece that moves a person from saying, yes, oh, I can see how that person appreciates the beauty of all people. All gendered people to there's a difference that's not just in name only, although it is driven by name. The difference between that and someone who identifies as bisexual, there is a distinction there.
Yeah, for sure.
And I, even as your husband of 18 years,
sure,
more or less,
we'll say that.
Almost 18 years. I, as your husband of 18 years, prior to you posting that, did not feel like it was my place or comfortable to, or would not have ever described you as a bisexual outside maybe our super closest friends. Even though I know that, yes, because to my knowledge and experience, you hadn't done that thing that you did on this post.
So you'd be outing me in your mind,
yeah. So
I appreciate it.
I affirm that you are not wrong in being like, hello world, I have always presented this way. Like, where have you been looking? I affirm that you're not wrong about that. That people 100% saw that and knew that. That is not exactly precisely the same as knowing that a person would use a term like bisexual.
No, that makes tons of sense. I like that. Yeah. And as you and I talk about all the time, like, we both desire to get to a place where sexual orientation labels will just be wiped from the earth. We won't need them anymore, right?
Like,
that would be lovely.
Yes.
And we both say, but we are not there yet.
There.
We can't be advocates for that
yet.
We
need labels until we don't.
First, we have to advocate for the labels and for the embracing them and using them and counting every letter and every marker.
Yes.
Until they've been loved into wholeness in such a way that they can be let go of. Once they're all celebrated fully, and everyone is safe to be those things fully, then we can just say goodbye to them. So, yeah, on that note, I then see the importance of actually just naming, using that word to say the thing that everybody already knows.
Yeah. Have you, since posting that and being more explicit, have you connected with or heard from others that also identify as bisexual?
Mm-hmm. Lots.
What's that been like for you?
It's really neat, especially all the folks who reached out to me who also are in relationships that make it look like their sexuality is a certain thing and that's not true for them. Mm-hmm. So, you know. you and I, heterosexual marriage, and I identifying as a bisexual slash queer woman, I think that has become so important to me. I'm realizing how important that's become to me. I think for a long time I was fiery against caring about that, and I realized that that actually was a marker leading me toward, like, it was like an arrow pointing toward my care and passion of that. Sometimes we do that, like, we're kind of like annoyed by a subject, and really it's because it's the one our heart is guiding us toward. Yeah. That was my experience with that. What I found were those feelings of not really wanting to be a spokesperson for that, or not really wanting to, like, be known as that, or even just speak to it, or, okay, you know, put passion and energy into it.
Okay.
I was not wanting to do that.
Gotcha.
I just, every time I thought about, like, putting passion and energy and voice into that, I was like, I don't want to. And then I realized that very, like, I don't want to, was actually just that thing in me that was, like, still believing that it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like what I said in that post of, like, why would it matter? There's so many people out there, so many identity markers out there who need attention and a spokesperson and love and passion and energy, not this thing. Like, I'm safe in our marriage. I am able to pass as someone straight, and therefore have all the privilege that comes with that. And so therefore, what passion and energy needs to go into this thing? Which, sure, privilege is totally a real thing that can be named and put in its place, but oh my God, everything matters. Like I said in that post, like it's still, so I've just come full circle around that and realized that those pushbacky feelings of mine were just really my heart kind of guiding me towards, like, this does matter.
I would say guiding you towards it and revealing what is deeper and most true about you from my perception. So while you may not be particularly animated by this call to be a bisexual spokesperson advocating for other people to similarly claim their bisexuality, you 100%, from my observation, are passionate about and driven by people being their authentic selves.
Yeah.
And loving the totality of who they are.
Yeah.
And so put into that frame, in that context, it's like, oh yeah, that is important for me to do because this larger thing is the most important thing for me ever.
Yep. Agreed. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, and so hearing from folks who have that same story running through their head, well, why does it matter?
Yeah.
Because I'm in this marriage and I'm not going anywhere. I don't intend to go anywhere outside of that, so why does it matter? Which, that entire narrative, that whole framework is of folks who are in a relationship, so like ours, a heterosexual relationship, and therefore say to themselves, anything else about my sexuality doesn't matter. So that narrative I told myself of, I'm bisexual, but that doesn't matter. It's not worth mentioning. I don't really need to talk about it because I'm in a straight marriage and I present a certain way. That whole narrative that happens happens for so many folks in different ways with different identities and different presentations, but it happens so much. I had so many people text me, message me, email me. And that was just little old me on my social media. Yeah. Like, that's saying something. It's out there. It's a lot. That whole narrative is such a giant spotlight for me on our just bigger problems with sexuality, our relationship with sexuality, and especially on purity culture. Mm. It is so tied to purity culture for me. And that's what I've realized with myself, that the liberation I find in claiming my bisexuality is, you know how I said it in my post that my sexuality was always framed in how it related to the male counterpart. Yeah. Always. That was the only place it had. That is explicitly what I was taught growing up, was that my sexuality only mattered so much in relating to... Hi, Hukka. You were in our last episode, too. This is still good. It sure is. You can have it. Say hi to the Kate and Colby show.
Hi.
Well done.
Yeah. And so for me, being able to do many things, naming bisexuality is one of them, but to be able to do many things to pull myself outside of that narrative, yeah, that my sexuality is only in so much as it relates to a man. That's the gift of my sexual identity for me, is having a beautiful avenue to do that, that I think would be harder if I did just identify as straight, if I was really only mostly attracted to men. I think that would actually be harder to extract myself from that painful narrative. That would, I've been given a gift in being bisexual, that it's easier to find ways to practice seeing myself as a sexual being outside of a male, yeah, relationship. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Why do I keep asking if things make sense?
I don't
know. Because I'm a woman, that's why.
Yeah. I would, yeah, you're a woman.
And we're dealing with complicated and deep topics.
And I think it's, I was going to add, and I think it's just a, it's like a vocal tic for you almost, where it's not even conscious.
Well,
you just,
sure,
like sometimes in sentences with that.
But I actually really mean it. I'm looking to you to say, like,
in this case,
do
yes.
Do you get it?
I
do you get it? Are you,
I
following
feel
me?
It is that way. Yes, I'm following you, know? You. And it's making me think of a conversation I had with Coach Yema a couple weeks ago about the gifts of being queer. And we talked about how queerness has a way of disrupting the norm.
Yep.
And that is and can be a necessary and good thing. So it makes all the sense in the world for me to hear you say, if I was whatever on the far end of the Kinsey scale, then yeah, I could imagine a scenario in which it would be a whole lot rockier and more challenging and complicated to extract yourself from some of those narratives and stories,
yeah,
and trappings. Whereas the gift of being queer is you get to sort of be outside the thing and puncture holes in it and disrupt. And yeah.
Yeah, it's just this beautiful handhold for me that I just feel so lucky to have ways to see myself outside of the one narrative, yeah, that we were given. For
like
sexuality.
If this part of me clearly doesn't fit in that narrative, what other parts might not?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can start pulling back the,
yeah, just
veil,
learning
and
to write
crap.
The narrative of sexuality entirely differently, that each of us are, that we are our own. We belong, yeah, to ourselves, that, yeah, the sexuality. And that's why I say that whole narrative of I'm bisexual, but I'm married to a man, so it doesn't really matter, who needs to know, and doesn't really affect anything, is such a spotlight on our problem with sexuality. That's the fact that we believe that means that we believe a lot of really messed up things about sexuality in general. So we're saying in that, we're implying in that narrative that sexuality only exists in marriage. We're implying, yeah, in that sexuality only exists with a partner.
Yeah.
We're implying in that sexuality only exists if a man is involved. We're implying all these really, yeah, deep purity culture, damaging, unhealthy,
yeah, yeah,
views of sex. So to reclaim that every piece of your sexuality matters, even if it, like that whole idea of, does it have practical implications on my life? Is the only practical implication what you do in your bedroom with your romantic partner? Is that the only thing it means to have practical implications of your, mm-hmm, sexuality? No.
Mm-hmm.
I think of all the ways that me being a sexual being is expressed and comes out in the world. And God, there's so much more to it than just what you and I do in sexy time. Getting real on the cake.
And now for a quick pause in our conversation to tell you about Buy Me a Coffee. And no, friends, this is not an ad where I tell you about what kind of coffee to buy. Although, if you're curious, shoot me an email. I'll let you know. No, Buy Me a Coffee is a platform that allows you, our pod fam, to show your appreciation and support for the Kate and Colby Show through financial contributions, like directly to us. You can make one-time gifts, sort of like, you know, money in the tip jar, thanking us for the episode. Or you can sign on to become monthly supporters and provide recurring donations to the show. This podcast is free for you, the listeners, yay! But it's not free for us, the creators, which is why we've begun to invite you to join us by going to buymeacoffee.com/KateandColby. Again, that's buymeacoffee, all one word, .com, you know that part, /KateandColby, KateandColby. And thank you for your belief in our work and for your support of the show. And now, back to the conversation.
Yeah, I don't know a more painful story for women than their sexuality, and especially that piece of it of it only exists for men. There's nothing that makes me more sad in life than that.
Yeah.
So I feel lucky to be here in this new way of seeing and experiencing the world. And if talking about being bisexual helps any other woman out there start to heal from that very damaging narrative, then I'm about it. Here for it, you know?
Real proud of you.
Thanks. Yeah, for you, you were like, yeah, I've always known this about you, but I thought it was like our secret between us. Other people know too. I thought everyone knew. What was your response when you realized your wife was not, or when you, because we started seeing sexuality different, started affirming, becoming open and affirming, or however you want to phrase it. But then you very quickly after that learned this thing about your wife, and what was that journey like for you?
I think my experience is fairly common, which is to say that the bisexual experience is the least understood when it comes to gay, lesbian, bisexual. And in fact, there are those within the queer community that are even skeptical that bisexuality is a thing. It's more like, that's just a stopping point on the way to your actual destination.
That's a narrative out there?
Absolutely.
I somehow have escaped that.
It's absolutely a narrative. It is gross. A way in which bisexual people feel oppressed by their own community, like that their experience and their identity is denied them. And it's just like, yeah, this is especially true among men. Less true among women, but especially true among men. Men are like, yeah, you're just not ready to identify as gay yet. Like, this is just a stop on the road.
Yeah. God, that's painful. I think I should go back and say, it's not that I didn't know that narrative existed. I don't think I realized that it was prominent in the queer community. Yeah. I think of those things, those statements you used, those examples you used, I think of that as being out in the world where people don't even understand sexuality, period. But then, like, in queer spaces where people really get it, I didn't realize that was prominent there.
That's something I learned with all my work with Unclobber the last decade or so.
Well, now I really want to talk about being bisexual, because I am here to tell you, yes, so it is real.
We're jumping to something I wanted to get to. So let's put a pin on that and come back.
Yeah, I still want to hear where.
Yeah, so what was I saying? Oh, so my experience was, I think, just was pretty common, which is a lack of understanding and awareness that bisexuality is a great way to describe a significant amount of people's experience and sort of orientation, which I don't know the textbook way to describe it, but I think just the grassroots sort of basic way of understanding is that an individual who claims identity as bisexual is like, I have sexual attraction to both men and women. That's just both.
Sexual and romantic attraction to male and female identifying people. Yes.
So when you and I went through our process of shifting out of conservative evangelical theology around sexuality, I had very much like, okay, cool. The I am convinced the Bible does not provide justification to discriminate against those who identify as gay or lesbian. But then when it came to the topic of being bisexual, and you sort of having that journey of putting more concrete language and ideas around the experience that we'd had for years, and the experience that we had for years, like you alluded to earlier, was pretty freely talking about that woman is very attractive. I find that woman hot. I also find that woman hot. I like cans. I also like cans. Yes. So then that was our sort of lived experience. And then beginning to put words to it and beginning to even put some labels around it, there was, and I'm, part of this might be revisionist history because it was a number of years ago and I don't know how much I processed it in the real time. So I might be, you know, this might not be exact.
That's memory, right? Yeah. Memory stretch.
Yeah. But I definitely remember there being fear for me and insecurity. Because that was also at a time in our life when there was just a lot of instability in our relationship. A lot of things were in flux and uncertain. And so I absolutely remember having imaginative thoughts of, cool, so this might lead towards Kate leaving me for another woman. And in many ways, maybe that was overly informed by...
I mean, I remember you telling me that. So if we both remember it, chances are that was true.
Yeah, yes, I externalized that fear at some point in the form of being like, if you need to like go date a woman and figure this out. And again, a lot of that I think was over-informed by this stereotype that bisexuality is just sort of a stopping point. So it's like, yeah, Kate, maybe you're bisexual or maybe you're farther on the Kinsey scale the other way.
That's why you were talking about that understanding, because for you, that fear that I might leave with another woman was kind of that.
Yeah.
Oh, because, I never realized that.
Well, yeah, because that stereotype of bisexuality not being a real thing, as all stereotypes do, have legitimate reasons behind them. So you can imagine that a number of people who over the course of their life move from being a heterosexual, that's in ironic quotes, just living that way towards then living as a gay person. Many people had that sort of crossover time of like experimenting, whatever it is, like figuring out. And so
I don't like the word experimenting.
I didn't either. Though. As you can see, my shoulders sort of crunched when I said it. Like, yes.
Journeying.
Yeah. So it was entirely reasonable and possible for me that that would have been your journey as well. Like I was
Plus, we were in that time walking many couples through that ourselves.
So true.
Because we became like famous for being the affirming pastors. Did. And so then people were coming to us
repeatedly
as this straight couple that affirmed gay people to help walk them through their straight marriage that was breaking up because one person realized that they couldn't keep hiding that they were gay.
Yeah.
Or that they always knew that one of them was gay, but they thought
that
they could.
Was all right. Around us.
It was all around us. It was happening constantly, which is heartbreaking, devastating, difficult story to live. And so then your wife is like, well, you know, I'm bisexual. And to you, all those stories collided and created this fear that, yeah. Fascinating.
We got love that we'll never need to hide. Love will always rise above. Whatever comes, we will be just fine. If I am yours and you are mine, take my hand and let's fly away to another galaxy. Hold me close, I want to feel your love. Together we are free. Just be with me. Just be.
I remember my response to you. One of the times, because it wasn't just once that you gave me like blessing to go do the thing with women. I should have taken you up on that. No, I remember my response.
Yeah. But listeners, in case you're like holding out hope,
that was an inappropriate.
She didn't ever take me up on it.
Sorry.
And we're on the record here, like.
Oh my God, stop it. No, I remember my response to you. We have chosen monogamy. That is our way of being. Yeah. I remember saying to you, like, a snappy comment of, because it was so clear to me because I am bisexual, being bisexual means that when I hear things like some of those narratives, I have the gift of inside my head knowing immediately how wrong they are, right? Because my lived experience tells me that. So I have a great measuring stick. So things like, how could you know you need to go, quotes, experiment, or do you need to go, you know, figure that out, or those kinds of things. I'm not saying that's not a real experience that some folks have in life. I'm sure it is, because of all of our sexuality trauma and damaging messages. There are times when people do need to actually act out something or try something. Absolutely. Yeah. So I
that's a real thing too.
That's a legit real experience in life. And at the same time, that can in itself be a damaging message. Like, all I mean is, like, we don't ask some. So when a little boy is 12 and he starts expressing his attraction for girls, we don't say, well, honey, you don't know yet because you haven't gone out and, like, touched her, kissed her, tried it, right? We just accept that he's attracted to girls. So if we're talking about equality and equity, when I say I'm attracted to women, it doesn't need to be followed up with, well, how can you know you need to try that? I knew
point.
I was attracted to boys before I ever touched a boy or kissed a boy.
Yeah.
So I also can know that about women. Yeah. It's fascinating.
Plus, and we can edit this out if you want, you did have some physical experience with that in high school.
Yeah.
Right. So that you weren't entirely ignorant of that as well. Like, you had physiological confirmation of what your inside world was telling you as well.
It's fascinating to think back on what my life would be like if I grew up with just like a slightly, you know, you just have all these like butterfly effect questions about your life. What if something was just slightly different? Yeah. Because thinking about how even in my extremely bubble wrapped life, maybe that's what my book should be called, bubble wrapped life. I just, yes, like you said, was still a very, you know, I still experienced a lot of life, including that. And so what a trip to look back. I'm just having this moment where I'm looking back on that and being like, what a trip, because I in my mind had no idea what a, I didn't know what a bisexual was. I didn't know that term even.
It's true.
So what a trip. Yeah. Like, my sweet little mind. No wonder, like I said in the post, like, we finally entered into the world of, like, queer, affirming, beautiful pride life. And I was like, oh my God, I get it. I understand.
Because you've been a hypersexual being for as long as you can remember.
Yeah. Always. Yes.
And, and that was contained and shamed in so many ways in the house and the system that you grew up in.
Yeah.
Sad.
It is, isn't it? It's painful. Whew. I'm glad we somehow miraculously got out of it.
Everything's a freaking miracle, man. So let me go back to that. The pin that we...
Yeah, we wanted to pull out more threads.
Is there a part of you, and maybe it wasn't until this moment, is there a part of you that feels that there might be a lane for you to be more advocate-like for the bisexual experience, to bring more awareness and illumination and insight, and not only help normalize bisexuality for people, feel like it's a real thing, and not to normalize it, to show that you can have a thriving whole life within that identity, regardless of which side you choose. Like, it's not you're not doomed for a life of misery. And then three, to kind of push back against that narrative of it's not a real thing. It's just a stopping point. Is there any part of you prior to today that has felt a draw towards that?
Prior today, no, but now we're having this conversation, I really do.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think I realized what a... And that's with having friends who've come out as bisexual and talked about... You know how sometimes in the progressive world, we repeat... Well, every world, all worlds, we repeat like catchphrases so much that sometimes you don't even really realize what they mean or they lose their meaning.
Sure.
I hear people say things like bi erasure, and I'm just like, I just fly past it because okay. I don't even know what they're talking about. Well, and I'm just like, there's so many terms.
That's it.
Yeah. So now what's hitting me is how when you're so close to something, when you are something, you can actually be more detached from the experience of that than if you weren't identifying that way. Mm-hmm. I'm having this weird, like, disassociated, like, I am bisexual and I feel so detached from the experience. Like, my husband is mansplaining the bi experience to me. I'm using that in a funny way.
But I understand.
You know what I mean? Like, how funny is that?
Yeah.
Like, and not funny, it's kind of sad.
I
think it's a... kind of a self-loathing thing that happens, not consciously, but we just, maybe it's a coping mechanism. Maybe we detach from painful stories to cope or something. I don't know. But yeah, I am. I'm definitely having a moment sitting here being like, some things you knew and you just didn't want to know. And some things you just plumb didn't know. And now that I have all this stupid knowledge, God, I hate knowledge. This is what it does. It makes you want to do things because now I want to go do a bunch of things. Yeah.
And I,
you know, you're doing
I feel for the bis out there in so many ways. And one of those is because it can simultaneously feel to a person so integral to who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And then also be one of the, like, how do you present that to the world? Like, there's no clear and obvious way to just present your bisexuality, obviously, because you were unsuccessful in doing it for the last 20 plus, whatever, however many years, like you've been unsuccessful.
But are you just saying that because you mean that, like, you mean it in the sense that we still just use relationship status to say what someone's sexuality is?
Correct.
Is that what you mean?
Yes. So if two women are in a relationship, the world can safely assume that they're lesbian.
Mm-hmm.
They might.
Well.
I know. They might be inaccurate about that. But yeah. A lesbian is comforted by knowing that if I'm in a relationship with another woman, that part of me is pretty easily on display. And a gay man, if he's in a relationship with another man, can be comforted by knowing that that part of me that feels very important to me and integral to me is obvious because I'm married to another man.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who identifies as bisexual and feels like that's a pretty integral part of who they are, there isn't the same sort of obvious ways to present that to the world in a way where they can feel seen in that.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to, you know, by and large, resort to just explicit naming of it. Wearing the t-shirt, putting it in their stat, in their profile. Like,
yeah.
They have to do other ways to sort of, like, this is a part of me and it belongs and it's important to me and I want you as a world to know that.
And bisexual folks who are in same-sex relationships, same thing. We were only talking about it in terms of, like, my situation of being in a heterosexual marriage, but it's the same for bisexual folks who are in same-sex presenting relationships.
Yeah.
And there's so many ways in which that fascinating, like, lost identity bi erasure, turns out, happens. Wow. Yep. Yeah, it's fascinating. I mean, other than just embodying as many bi stereotypes as you can, I saw a list of some good ones the other day. Pretty great.
Oh, nice.
I was like checking them off. Like, check, check.
Do you remember what any of them were?
Oh, man. Lots of tattoos. I felt pretty happy about that.
Are you serious?
I was like, oh, I need to go get more tattoos.
That's fun.
Yeah. The age-old can't sit in a chair the correct way. What else? That one's so funny. It just cracks me up.
Why is that a thing?
I don't know. Yeah, I can't remember. But okay. They're pretty great.
That's fun.
Pretty great. Yeah, I don't know. I love that part of me. I love all the gifts that it gives me. And yeah, now that I realize just how painful. You know me, like nothing bugs me more. Well, because Enneagram 4, but then like being misunderstood or like not knowing. Mm-hmm. Like not being known and mm-hmm. then not knowing others. Mm-hmm. Like that's like my deepest drive in life. So I just feel like it's that for me of like, oh, I want every bisexual person to be known. I want people to be seen and known.
Yeah.
It's important, you know? And it helps with all the other things I care about too, right? Like it's, I mean, you already named that about the authenticity thing, being fully you, but just everything I've been naming about sexuality, I care more and more and more about the sexuality stuff lately. It's just becoming really important to me. So like for women, as I was talking about earlier, being sold this lie that your sexuality only exists in so much as it relates to a man. It's just, your sexuality is such a, I know we named already that I've just always been a hypersexual person. So, and I totally honor and get that asexual folks also have a beautiful place in life. And so I don't want to like overemphasize sexuality now, but I don't know. I think it's totally fine and safe to just say how much I care about it and how big of a deal it is. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to put a bunch of disclaimers on it because there's so much to honor there, right? But the point is that sexuality is so beautiful and such a gift, and it's such a part of who we are. And I really, really, really hate what we've done to it. Yeah. I just want to see it restored. And I can see, you know how I always talk about, we had Tina on the show, Dr. Tina, was on the Kate and Colby show a few weeks back, and she's a sex therapist and talks a lot about purity culture, wrote a book about it, Sex, God, and the Conservative Church. And you know how we always talk about my relationship with Tina? I met her and I was like, that's it. I came home from my trip mm-hmm. meeting her and I was like, babe, I found the woman.
Got my North Star.
Yes, mm-hmm. She's like the picture of liberation and confidence and authenticity and whole living and all of that. And I don't think it's a surprise that the person I found that feels like that model to me is a sex therapist and someone who's just so sexually
grounded.
Yeah, grounded and in
empowered.
Empowered and tuned in and just a sexual being and wears a clit ring on her finger, giant clit ring. I don't think that's any surprise, you know? I just think that's what sexuality can do for us.
Yeah.
And I long to be that. I long to be like her, like you said, North Star. So I think, yeah, talking about bisexuality, then because it's who I am, it's been such a gift.
I think for many, you already are. And I only see you growing in that capacity. And I'm excited for you.
Yeah, I kind of want to push against that quirky personality trait we were talking about earlier where I'm just like, well, I don't want to talk about it. It's just true. I'm kind of ready to push against that piece of myself a little bit, you know? Yeah.
I'll pull from the other side a bit if you want.
Why? Do we always have to have tension?
That's not tension. Oh. I'm pulling while you're pushing.
Got you.
I'm assisting in the movement.
No, yeah, I heard you wrong. Sorry. Of course I did, because I'm used to us having tension. Like, oh, he wants to create tension. What did we used to say back in the way early days of the Kate and Colby show, though? Our tension is the tension between us is the thing that creates the... We had this cute little catchphrase. Remember that? It's like, creates the sparks, blah, blah, blah. I don't know. Some beautiful way of saying that we create fire with our tension.
Still think it's true. And one can have too much tension. There is a limit to how much tension I think a relationship can endure. So we rub up against that sometimes. Anyway, speaking of rubbing up against things, do you have anything else you want to cover before we... You feel good?
But here we are. I mean, we've now sandwiched the episode in 12-year-oldness. So yeah, we're probably
good. Nice.
I like cans. Rub up against stuff. We're still those repressed evangelical kids who think sex is funny.
Get. Yeah, 100%. They know what they're getting into. We are no surprise to them.
Oh my God. I think we are Jake Peralta.
Thank goodness. Only. I love you. Proud of you.
Love you.
Bye.
Bye.
Why are we awesome?
If you appreciate the Kate and Colby Show, here are three ways you can show it. One, tell a friend about us. Personal recommendations are still the best way that people find new podcasts. Second, subscribe to the show and leave us a rating and review. Let us know what the show means to you. And finally, support the show financially by going to buymeacoffee.com/Kate and Colby. That's all one word, KateAndColby. Every contribution goes directly to this work. Thanks for listening to our garage sessions. And don't forget to check out our YouTube page, where you can watch past episodes of our live show, featuring all sorts of amazing special guests, insightful conversations, and general tomfoolery. The Kate and Colby Show is recorded at Holy Living Studios in San Diego and is produced by Josh Gilbert. Until next time, be well. Yeah.